Hi everyone, you're listening to Between Two Flags, Yuna and Candace podcast, and I'm your host Jamila, a communications officer here at Yuna Canada. Did you know that every year around 17% of all food is wasted globally, and we all have a part to play? Buy only what you need, check food labeling, and give so-called ugly produce a second chance. Be a food hero. Our actions are our future. And today, on World Food Day, which was founded by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, in 1945 to increase awareness of world hunger and poverty and to inspire solutions for world change, I'm happy to interview FAO's food hero, Jacob Beaton. Jacob and his wife, Jessica Ouellette, founded Tea Creek Farm. Food sovereignty is a core of Tea Creek Farm that also serves as an indigenous-led training hub. The hub provides a culturally safe space for local First Nations to learn valuable skills. Hi, Jacob. So I know that you didn't grow up on a farm, and in your own words, you knew nothing about farming. So what motivated you to get into farming?
We just started farming a few years ago here at Tea Creek. We moved here at the end of 2018. The motivation was two things for us. At the beginning, it was because our eldest son was very interested in becoming a farmer. The other is that we were very interested in our own food security. So we could see climate change, the impacts coming. We'd already experienced record heat and wildfires that cut off highways, and we started getting worried, like, hey, what happens if this keeps getting worse? So we felt vulnerable living in town in a regular house with a regular yard. We converted our yard to food production. So before we started farming, we were already growing enough potatoes for our family and for friends just in our yard. And then we grew some other crops as well, like carrots and, you know, corn and squash, things like that. So that's how we got going. That was the original idea, was just our own food security and our own food sovereignty. And then it grew from there.
So as you mentioned, a few years ago, and to be precise, in 2018, you and your wife, Jessica Ouellette, moved to Tea Creek Farm. And just in a few years, you build a successful business farm that produces and gives up to 20,000 pounds of produce annually, which is just amazing. And I know that you've briefly mentioned why, what motivated you to start this business and achieve such great results, but I wonder, why did you choose food sovereignty as one of your core missions?
Yeah, so when we started on our own journey, what we noticed is, so first of all, I am Indigenous myself. My mom is Tsimshian, Haida Heltsik. That means I am as well. I'm pretty close to my home territory here. I'm in Gitxsan territory, which is a little bit upriver from Tsimshian. So I'm a guest here, but I'm also not too far from my ancestral homeland on the coast. The situation here is that Indigenous nations were food sovereign not very long ago. They were producing all of their own food and then a surplus, which often was gifted with other Indigenous people and guests. So it's a really core part of our Indigenous culture here that we don't go hungry and we don't let people go hungry. As a result of Canadian government policy, over many, many, many years, since the 1800s, really, that was stripped away and eroded to the point where we live. It's been totally removed. Food sovereignty doesn't exist anymore for our people. So when we started doing it here, it's something that we had the means to do. Like, I'm a business person. I had some successful businesses before, so that afforded me the financial resources to purchase land, which is a huge problem for Indigenous people. There's a lot of barriers to purchasing land. So for my experience as an Indigenous person, it's almost impossible to borrow money from a bank if you're Indigenous to buy the land. So for me, luckily, we didn't need to borrow the money, so I could just buy it. And that really helped, and that's very lucky. And then we, one of our previous businesses, we use Indigenous staff and team members. And so we actually invited a lot of those people to come and help us get the farm going. And we just found that everyone just loved to be here at the farm. Everyone just, you know, we'd share breakfast together. We share lunch together. We go out and we work hard together. And it really brought back this sense of community and memories for a lot of people. A lot of people can remember their grandparents used to have flourishing gardens. And a lot of people, like, it's a distant memory, but there's still that memory that, hey, there was a time when we were food sovereign here, and it feels really good to be food sovereign. And it's good for our culture and good for our community and our individual health. So it didn't turn into the initiative until First Nations approached us and said, hey, we want to hire you to get our farms going. In the pandemic, when there was shortages of food everywhere up here. And so that is where it came out of. It's just like this feeling like, hey, we love to do this. This feels good, feels like the right thing to do. And then a lot of demand from different Indigenous people and First Nations asking us to help them. And so we realized right away that we can't do that because it's a full-time job to take care of our operation here. We can't go and do someone else's operation and another one. You know, so that's the whole idea for the Tea Creek model is, hey, send your people to us. They'll learn everything they need to know here and then go back into the community. We quickly learned that it's not just food. You can't just learn food. You have to learn the whole supporting economy that, again, used to be here in abundance, and that educational knowledge transfer needs to be brought back, where people who can do things that we need for food sovereignty are teaching other people how to do it. So that's where our trades training program came to be almost immediately. Like, we need carpenters, we need plumbers to do irrigation and fix water problems. We need mechanics to take care of all the engines that break down and need servicing. You know, when we got started, we had to bring a mechanic in from way outside of town just to work on our tractors. It was incredibly expensive, and we knew we couldn't afford to do that. And so I started to learn mechanics just to run our farm. And then I thought, hey, anybody else who's got a farm, they need to know mechanics too. So all of these hand trades, cooking and painting, and there's so many of them, we deliver those now, and they're all for Indigenous people. It's all land-based, hands-on learning. We do very small groups. So our group sizes, instead of a class of 15 or 20 people, our classes are 3 to 6 people. So what we see is that individuals who come here, they learn very, very quickly because they have a lot of attention from their mentor, from their instructor, and they're able to achieve skills in record time in this place that's experiential and culturally safe. So almost all our staff are Indigenous, and our participants are all Indigenous. And you are allowed to just be an Indigenous person who you are. You can be that person here. We're not saying you need to be somebody else. You can just be yourself. And that makes us very different, I think, from a lot of other operations.
Thank you for mentioning Tea Creek's innovative training, building food sovereignty among Indigenous communities in Northern BC. That's actually my next question. So can you tell our listeners a little bit more about this training, maybe with one or two inspiring stories?
Sure, there's so many stories. I mean, we've had over 300 trainees come through our programs now, like who've signed up for training in just 2 years. So we have over 170 who have signed up for training this year. We've graduated now, I believe, over 60 people this year alone from our different programs. And then on top of that, we have thousands of additional Indigenous guests who come through Tea Creek just for one-day workshops or tours or experiences such as school groups. So we had last week 4 different school classes come for 1-day workshops here to learn about nutrition, food harvesting, and just get out on the land, and it's amazing. So for some inspiring stories, one of the first ones that comes to mind is our very first program was a youth program. We had a young parent come and participate, and this parent has children, and I asked them what they wanted to learn here, because I said, we offer all these different things, you know, that you can learn. And I still remember them saying to me, I don't know what I want. I've never worked. I've never had a job. And I just want to learn everything. So I said, okay. So we rotated them through our different training groups. And I think at the end of the week, I asked the different mentors, instructors, the supervisors, I said, how did this person do? And they said, they did great. Every single thing they did, they were good at. So they tried mechanics, they tried machine operation, they tried cooking, they tried a little bit of everything. And after the program, I think partway through, I referred them to a job. So they ended up getting a job. And about a month later, I talked to their supervisor at work and I said, how are they doing? And they said, they're the best worker we have. They're always positive. They work really hard. They're the most reliable. And it really, really was a testament, to that person, but it was so cool to hear from them that, hey, they'd already were close to 30 years old and they'd never had this opportunity. What they needed was the confidence boost from coming to Tea Creek and a safe place where they're not going to be discriminated against as being an Indigenous person or a woman or, you know, a parent or whatever, or based on appearances or anything, that they were going to be free of discrimination, gave them that confidence. And then they did really well in this job and they were given top reviews. And there's a lot of stories like that. We had 2 training groups from last year where almost everyone in the group, I mean, all Indigenous, of course. In these groups, it was a community that the people were on welfare, like on social assistance. They were, they'd been unemployed for a long time. We didn't know that. Like, you know, they were being sent by the community. And so we didn't find out till later. And then when we did follow-ups, we found that everybody was employed at the end. And some in some really good jobs, like some excellent jobs, just seeing the changes in people's lives. One of the big barriers in that group is most people did not have a driver's license. So here at Tea Creek, they were gradually introduced to driving, such as operating a tractor. And a lot of people think a tractor is scary, and it can be scary, but it's also friendly because it doesn't move very quickly. And it can be very easy to learn on. So often these people would learn on the tractor and then they'd move to other vehicles on the farm. And so what ended up happening is a lot of people ended up getting the driver's license who hadn't, again, like who'd been, you know, decades as an adult, no driver's license. They go get a driver's license, get a job, and now they're doing really well. So, but I don't want to make it sound like jobs are the only test, because they're not. Around half of our trainees who come here would rather be self-employed, have their own business. Indigenous people in Canada are 4 to 5 times more likely to start their own business compared to mainstream Canadians. And we definitely see that in our trainees. So this afternoon, actually, I'm doing another workshop on how to start your own business, everything you need to know, with trainees. So that's on the plan today. And we have some great success stories. One in particular is a mother with children who isn't able to have a regular job. And so we mentored her and supported her in creating and expanding her own home-based business. And it's been a big success. And she attributes some of that to the confidence that she gained through being here at Tea Creek. So I think the number one barrier, or not, yeah, there's a number of barriers, including lack of driver's license, lack of housing, lack of food, lack of appropriate clothing and footwear, things like that. But one of the biggest benefits that people tell us they get out of our program is increase in mental health and increase in physical health. So what we're advocating for is that those are really key. And then we tackle the other barriers, the other more tangible physical barriers. We can overcome them as long as people have the confidence, right? And you know, the self-esteem to do that. Yeah.
Globally, 3 in 4 people facing poverty and food insecurity rely on agriculture and natural resources to earn a living. Climate change hurts the most vulnerable ones. You can help mitigate climate change. Eat local, seasonal, and avoid ultra-processed foods. Our actions are our future. More at FAO.org.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jacob. What you do is, it's so inspiring and so important, but I also imagine that it's also very challenging. So can you please share how you overcame or maybe still overcoming major challenges on your way to accomplish such an important mission?
Our biggest challenge at Tea Creek is lack of funding. It's a huge problem. We have far more activities, participation, and we're not currently supported for most of what we do. So how we were able to overcome that is just having success elsewhere and being able to put our resources into Tea Creek, our own private resources. The other success is having a good, solid team of people who put in the extra mile, do what it takes to make the site and the programming work every day. That's really, really, really key. So moving forward, we are pushing for more support, financial support in Canada, and saying, hey, look, at this works. It's amazing. It's getting incredible results. There's a lot of different parts of Canadian and provincial governments that should be supporting us. There's organizations that should be that are not currently, and they have an opportunity to get behind us and be a part of our success and be a part of the outcomes that we're delivering and see those expand and grow. I would say that once we have more resources, then problems become much less significant. We can reduce the challenges by having more people. We're dealing with that today. We've got lots of people. We're a little bit shorthanded. And that happens quite a bit, which is a good problem to have, but we'd still love to see, you know, a lot more support from the institutions in Canada that should be supporting us. And the other area we're looking to for support is the private sector, you know, like industry, companies, things like that, that currently are not supporting us. So that's it is our biggest challenge, is that we're under-resourced and under-supported for how busy we are and how much participation we have and all of our outcomes. So one quick example is we just donate our time and money for school groups. So that's just a donation. We also donate all our food and gift it into our Indigenous gift economy here. And those activities, as one example, are completely unsupported. No one's helping us out with that. But we think that'll change, but we're going to do it no matter what, right? Like we just, even if it was just my wife and I, we'd still be giving our food away. So.
And my last but not least question, as a food hero, what will you do for World Food Day? And maybe tell our listeners how they can contribute.
Well, I think something that makes us the most happy is engagement on social media. You know, if people want to just leave us a comment on something they like, that always brightens our day to hear just the support, you know, wherever it comes from. That helps. It really does help. I mean, sometimes we feel like we're doing this completely on our own in the global sense, or even just the Canadian sense. We feel sometimes isolated. So it's nice to get those comments from beyond our town, from people saying, hey, good job, keep it up, or hey, I love this, or whatever people want to say. For World Food Day, it's hard for me to say what we'll do because every day is World Food Day here. So it'll be more of what we already do, you know, which is we do free meals, you know, breakfast and lunch, hot lunches here at Teak Creek. We get harvesting and giving away our harvest into the gift economy. We have a lot of guests coming to Teak Creek. So I think it'll just be what we're already doing, plus some social media things. Maybe we'll do some video or something like that to commemorate World Food Day. I just want to encourage everyone to work towards food sovereignty. We're big fans of food sovereignty. Everything we do is around food sovereignty and creating a future, you know, for our next generations. It is one of the big drivers for us. You know, we have children of our own, and seeing how poorly things are going in the world right now, it really motivates us to do better. And food is critical importance. You know, food and shelter are so important to all of us all around the world. So thanks for your time, and thanks for caring, and thanks very much for the recognition as Food Hero, because it's a huge honor for Jessica and I and our whole team here at Teak Creek. I also just want to acknowledge all our supporters that we already have. So we are supported. We wouldn't exist this year without the support of the provincial government here in British Columbia, Canada, and without our First Nations partners, Gitwingak and Wet'suwet'en, our two First Nations that we're partnered with this year. And I'll tell you, we're already looking forward to next year. So thank you.
Jacob, thank you so much for your time and such an exciting discussion. And to our listeners, please follow and support Teak Creek Farm and Indigenous-led food sovereignty training. Millions of people around the world cannot afford a healthy diet. It is extremely important to support the farmers who produce your food and the people who go without. Please do your part. Buy only what you need, use your leftovers, and store food wisely. Contribute to a more sustainable future. More at FAO.org. Thank you, and I will see you in the next episode.